Let's stand. Did I tell you to Luke 21? Luke 21st chapter. Verse number 11, we're going to just read that one verse, and then we'll pray, and then we'll read a few more verses. Verse number 11, chapter 21 of Luke. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege of preaching. And I ask you, Father, to use this preacher to honor you through the preaching of the Word of God. Father, we know that you're all-powerful, you're great, you're wonderful, you're full of grace and mercy, and we thank you for loving us. And Father, if anything will be accomplished this morning, it'll be because of you. And Father, I just want to thank you for how good you are to us, how great and wonderful you are. This morning, once again, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Lord, all of us here need attentive ear. Help us, Father, be attentive, Lord, to the preaching of your word this morning, that you may be able to do something in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You notice the last part of verse number 11. He said that fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. I want to read over in verse number 25 and verse 26 of the same chapter. He says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Let's go over to verse number 34 of that same chapter, and he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. God is telling us in those verses of Scripture and many, many other verses throughout the Bible that there's a time coming when there's going to be great signs in the heavens. There's going to be things where brings nations to the place of perplexity. They're not going to be hardly able to know how to handle it. In fact, the Bible says that there'll be men's hearts will be failing them because of things coming upon the earth. And he says, he takes a warning to us and says, take heed to yourself. He says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. The word drunkenness there speaks of what we would know as intoxication. Intoxicated not just, and certainly that's included, but not just with drink, but intoxicated with life itself. In other words, the cares of this world, taking a hold of our life, more interested, it's got us so caught up that we're not even paying attention to the day we're living in. That's what God is warning us here. That word where he says the cares of this world, it talks, and if you look in the concordance, it's the word which means distractions. We're distracted by the cares of this world. The things that's going on in this world so distracts us that we don't realize the day that we are living in. That's what he's saying to us. Now, I think one of the best ways to illustrate that is over in Luke, the 14th chapter, if you'll turn back there with me. And I believe we can illustrate what he's trying to teach us here. You know, he talked about over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, in the parables there, where he talked about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word. You remember that? Choke the word of God. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, is one of the things that we just get caught up in. We get caught up in the cares of this world, and we don't realize what's going on around us. Now, that's what God's warning us about. Now, over in Luke, the 14th chapter, the 16th verse, listen, he gives a story here to us. And he says, and he said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he said he sent his servants at supper time to come to them and that were bidden. Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, well, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another one said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, I pray thee, have me excused. And the third one says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, if you will notice that portion of Scripture there, that's the cares of the world. These people were so caught up in the cares of the world when they was bidden, and basically what he's bidden to was the marriage supper. In other words, when you get right down to it, for you and I, they were bidden to come to Christ. For us in this day, they're bidden to come to Christ, and they had every other excuse under the sun. I mean, they had some oxen they had to take care of. They had to go out and prove them. They had just bought a piece of ground, and I mean, they had to go out and look that ground over and see it. And I mean, they didn't have time to go. And then one just got married. I mean, I'm so busy taking care of my wife, and we just got married. We've got a honeymoon to go on, you know, and all these things. And, you know, in other words, the cares of this world was just so taking people up that they didn't have time for God. Now, I want you to listen how God responded to this. In verse number 21, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, did you notice how he responded to it? It made him angry. And I've thought many times about this. Folks, I don't know how you think. I don't know whether you dwell on these things or not. But I've thought so much about that. How does God look at us when we get so caught up in the cares of this world that we begin to put those things and those cares of this world more important and more ahead of the things of God? I think he does the very same thing that he did here. I think he gets angry. I think it makes him very, very angry. Because we're not really that concerned about his work, the things that's going on in his work. We're more concerned about what's going on in our life. Okay? So what I want you to understand is this. There's a lot of things going on around us that God is trying to get our attention. And we need to listen to him. I've entitled this message, Is God Speaking? And I guess I ought to have went on and said, Are we listening? But is God really speaking to us today? And how is he speaking to us? And I'm going to give you some things this morning that I believe God Almighty is speaking to America today. I believe he's saying some things to us today, and he's expecting us to hear and wake up. Now, we can either do one or two things. We can be wakened by the things that God speaks to us through, or we can do like here, and we can make excuses, and we can put every other thing in this world ahead of that and say, well, I know, but one of these days I'll come back to God, and I'll get right with God and all these things, but right now I'm just too busy in life. Now, I want to show you that God is absolutely speaking to us in America. This past year has really been a year. 1998, I know here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know, we almost wanted to call it the year of the hospital. Many of you were involved in that, but multitudes of our people was in the hospital this year. And I mean, sometimes very, very serious. We lost some of our people this year to death. I'm just simply saying that this year has really been something. And Don and I was talking one day, and we said, I'd be glad when 98's over. Now, you know, that doesn't mean it's all going to stop in 99, but we were just kind of saying, get 98 behind us, because it has really been something. And I think most of you realize it, many of you do, because you was involved in some of that yourselves, and it's really been something. But I don't know whether you realize that in this past year also it has really been something weather-wise and the things that's been going on in our nation. And we better listen up. We better listen to what God is saying to us, and I'm going to show you that's the way God speaks to a nation. It's the way he speaks to his people. But last year, this past year, when I say this past year, the last year, I'm talking about 1998, there was a series of devastating tornadoes that hit southeastern United States of America like it never hit it before. Whether you understand or not, I told you this on Wednesday night. In 1998, there was double the amount of a record. 1 year, and I think it was in the 70s, there was a record amount of tornadoes. I don't have that number. But in 1998, it doubled. In 1998. In the last few years, and also last year, we saw floods that have literally destroyed towns and villages and played havoc all across this country. El Nino has been blamed, of course. Most of the time, El Nino was blamed. And I'm not saying that what they're calling El Nino was not there, but I want you to know there's somebody who's controlling El Nino. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but last year, if you watched news very much, you would have found out that just about every day El Nino was mentioned on the news. And in fact, Dan Rather on CBS last year had what he called the El Nino Watch every single day. And they'd give an update of what was going on concerning El Nino. Now that happened this last year. February of last year, El Nino spawned thunderstorms from the Gulf of Mexico that traveled across out of the Gulf of Mexico and traveled across Florida, where there was 10 tornadoes spawned out of that. It was the worst. It was the worst bunch of tornadoes that the state of Florida had ever seen in all of its history. Over on the island of Guam, it's the home of Anderson Air Force Base, and some of you men that's been in the service may know this, may have been there. I don't know whether you have or not, but it's an Air Force Base in Guam. It had a typhoon strike it this past year that produced the strongest winds that has ever been recorded on the face of the earth. I said recorded on the face of this earth. I wish I knew. I did not get the number of that. I don't know what that was, but it was the strongest winds that has ever been recorded on the face of this earth. That happened last year over in Guam. In January of last year, an ice storm hits parts of Canada and the United, and of course the United States up in the northeastern part of the United States. It downed trees and power lines, and millions of people were without power for a lengthy period of time. During that same time that was happening there, over in France and England, where they don't see very many tornadoes, but tornadoes was spawned over in France and England at that time and done terrific destructive damage over there. The same time this was going on up there. In March, a rare snowstorm, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but I thought it was interesting because over in Jerusalem, do you remember that when that snowstorm hit Jerusalem? Which was a very unusual thing to happen in Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was covered with snow. That's a very, very unusual thing. And that happened in March of last year. In fact, right before that snowstorm came, there was all kinds of blowing dust and thunder and lightning and hail. I said, boy, it sounds like the Bible. Amen? And that was such an unusual thing to happen. In February of last year, there was torrential rains and mudslides and flooding that took many lives down in Peru. In fact, lost many, many lives, but there was 250,000 people left homeless in Peru. Over on the California coast, last winter, not this winter, but the last winter before that, it was battered all winter long with storms and mudslides that destroyed all kinds of homes and lives. Over on the island of Luzon in the Philippines, this happened, of course, a year before. This happened back in 1991. An inactive volcano, which had been silent for 600 years, erupted. Volcano ash piled up 10 feet deep in some places. Right after that happened, heavy rains come into the area, and that volcano ash that was piled so deep caused mudslides and destroyed homes after homes after homes. In fact, not only that, Clark Air Force Base. Has any of you men been to Clark Air Force Base? Thank you. You've been there. It was absolutely evacuated down in the Philippines, was evacuated and closed. It was the largest base outside of the United States of America. Became so bad. I want to ask you men something I've read and heard. They said it's one of the beautiful places on the face of the earth, that area there where Clark Air Force Base is. Is that true or not? I don't know. It was a beautiful place, beautiful surroundings. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read that. But anyway, it was turned in to a devastating place with this ash and just practically destroyed. They ended up closing it down. Now I'm asking you a question. Is God speaking to us in America? Is God saying some things to us where we're seeing tragedies and things that are happening more than it's been in the history of America? We've always had tragedies. We've always had catastrophes. We've always had those things. But the intensity of these things are increasing. Now, is God speaking to us? I'm going to say to you, I really believe that most Americans, including too many of we Christians, are not really paying any attention to what God is saying. I think we're just sitting back and figuring, oh, well, that's just a quirk of nature. El Nino is just something that happened, and it's just a quirk of nature, and it may happen again. It may not happen this week, year, but I want to tell you something. The intensity of things that are going on is not going to cease. I believe that. We are being spoken to by our Lord. We are being warned. And God is doing everything He can to awaken us. But you know what? God has always spoke through calamities. You say, Brother Ross, is this new? Is this the way God is now speaking to us? No, He's always done that. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. I want you to go with me over to the book of Joel, please. Book of Joel. Daniel, Hosea, the book of Joel. First chapter. Won't you listen as I read here in the first chapter of the book of Joel. I'm going to start at verse number 1. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. And howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Now, in that, he's saying this. The new wine is cut off because the crops are gone. There's no grapes to make new wine with. Now in this, it's got a double picture. It's a picture of things that happened right there in Israel and in basically Judah, because Joel was a prophet to the southern kingdom, which is Judah. But it is also a picture of the end day of the Lord, which is coming up, which we're getting ready to see during the tribulation period and all of those things, which we're preaching on Wednesday night. But he says, in verse number 6, for a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has cheek teeth of a great lion. He had laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests and the Lord's ministers mourn. They don't even have the drink offering. They don't even have feast offering. They don't have these things. Why? Because it's gone. The food's gone. The harvest is gone. The grapes are gone. And he says, the field is wasted. Look in verse number 10. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, and oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen? How, O ye vine dressers? For the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished? The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Now listen as you hear this. Gird yourself and lament, ye priests. How, ye ministers of the altar? Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify, and what does he tell them to do? Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Now, folks, listen, you get a hold of this thing, you read the book of Joel, and you'll find out God has sent these tragedies and calamities upon the nation here of Judah for one reason, to call them back to Him. That's what He's telling them in verse number 14. You sanctify, you fast. You call a solemn assembly. He says, you gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land in the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. He's saying to you, the only hope you have is to come and cry to me. Amen. See, all of this is designed, as you'll find out as we go down through some of these scriptures, you're going to find out the reason God brings calamity to a nation is to turn it back to Him. That's the whole purpose of it. It's a nation that's went away from God. And if you have any common sense whatsoever, you know this nation is away from God. You know it is. And it is away from God. And God is speaking to us. And God is calling us. And God is trying to turn us back unto Him. Look at verse 15. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the mighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off from your eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? I'd just like to say something to you, in all seriousness. I really don't see much joy and gladness in the house of God anymore. Now, I'm going to say this as a preacher. I want you to hear me out. Do you know people can get saved around here, and most people just sit there and, yeah, that's good. You can baptize back here as we did last week, and people just sit there and, old hat stuff. There's no joy about it. There's no rejoicing about it. I can remember a time when a person got saved, there was rejoicing all over the congregation. I can remember a time when we went into the baptistry and baptized some sweet little girl, some lady, some man, and everybody would just be hollering, amen, praise the Lord. I remember gathering out at the Dead Man's Lake down on the other side of Linton, Indiana. That's where we baptized. Boy, that's a good place to baptize it. Dead Man's Lake, that's what it was called. We'd go out there and we'd have a great time. We'd baptize out there. And I mean, people would just be rejoicing, standing on the shore out there, just rejoicing when someone got baptized. I mean, we all gathered out there at the river, went out there, and people with Lord and Mary, amen, praise God. You know what? Today, you don't hear it. There's no joy in the house of God. And I don't know what you realize now, we've got a lot to have joy around about here. Amen. You don't hear any joy. It's just like, oh well, old hat stuff. You ain't going to shake me. I've been sitting on the premises for a long time. Well, that's what happened back here. There was no joy in the house of God, no rejoicing over what God was doing. It's what he said, there's no gladness from the house of God. Verse 17, the seed is rotten under their clods. Did you hear that? Under the clods of the ground. You farmers out here that deal with farming or gardening, you know what I'm talking about. Get old seed down there under a big old clod, it ain't going to come up. He said, just rot. And he said, the seed is rotten under the clod, the gardeners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herd of cattle are perplexed. Why? Because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for a fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. And the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire had devoured the pastures of the wilderness. You want to tell me God did not speak to them in weather-related matters and droughts and floods and storms? He certainly did. And he's speaking to America today. You read in the paper here a while back that we was here in Indiana, we was sending hay out to Oklahoma because they had no hay. People in Indiana had got together and they'd shipped hay out to Oklahoma because they had no hay out there. Why? Their pastures was gone from floods and all kinds of things going out there. They didn't have enough hay to feed their cows. What if that happens all over? You see, God is speaking. It's what I'm saying to you. God is speaking to us and we're not waking up. I want to turn to the next book, which is the next book after Joel, the book of Amos. Written practically the very same time that Joel was written, the same area of time. And he was writing specifically, basically, to the northern kingdom, which was Israel. And I think it involved probably Judah both, but he basically was writing to Israel, the northern kingdom. And he's saying some things also here in chapter 4, verse number 6. And I saw also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. Now, you know what that means? You know why a person has clean teeth? They don't have anything to eat. That's what he's saying. I give you cleanness of teeth. You know why? Because they don't have anything to eat. You don't get dirty teeth. You don't have anything to eat. That's what God's saying. And he says, in all your cities, and he goes ahead and says, and the want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Listen to what God said. Why did he bring cleanness of teeth? Why did he bring want of bread? To return them unto him. And he said, you haven't done it. You haven't listened. You've paid no attention whatsoever. These things has happened and you're not listening to me. He says over in verse number 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city, one piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Did you notice that again, that another saying? What was he trying to do to them? Get them returned to him. And he said, I've done all of those things to you. I mean, I've caused it not to rain, no pasture, no water for your cattle, and you still won't listen. You still won't return. And he says, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees, your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Once again, he mentions that. He says, you haven't returned unto me. See what I'm trying to do? God says, I'm trying to get you to turn to me. He says, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. I have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camp to come up into your nostrils. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare ye to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountain and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh the morning darkness and the treading upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Look at chapter 5. And again, as you read down there, do you remember what he was trying to do? Get us to turn back to God. All of these calamities that was happening, you better turn back to God. Look at chapter 5, verse number 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Bethsheba, Gilgal, shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to woodworm and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. And once again, folks, we had better listen very closely to what God said to Judah and Israel. Because the reason I'm saying that is, don't you understand that God is the same yesterday and today and forever? Do you realize when he spoke in that manner to them, he'll speak into that manner to us? Over in Haggai, he said, you have sown much, but your harvest is little. Oh, we say, well, we have a good crop this year, no doubt about it. I'm going out there and sow. No, we've always had good crops. Talk to some of them folks got their land flooded out. Talk to them, some of them that had the droughts. See how their harvest was. See, God can shut it off like that. That's nothing to him. Like he said, if he wants it to rain on one city and not the other one, he'll just do it. Amen? He'll just have it rain anywhere he wants it to rain. And I'm saying to you, God today is still speaking to us through these things which we call nature, the natural signs that we're seeing. God is still speaking to us. He's speaking to America today. And God help us to live, or to listen. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that we are experiencing the worst natural disasters in the history of America. I don't believe that's a coincidence. I don't know whether you remember, I'm sure you remember back at this, but back in 1980, it all kind of began back in 1980 when Mount Helens erupted. You remember that. Some of you weren't even alive then back in 1980, but many of you remember that. It just seemed like it kind of began back then, and it was like a big bang, and God said, I'm going to send some judgment on this nation, and I'm going to start right here. Right after that, down in Texas, down near Dallas, Texas, in that area, I don't know, Lloyd Nicholas, where were you at? Lloyd, was you down in 1980 in Texas? All right, what I've read, you'll verify this in that area. They tell me that if for 51 days straight, the temperature never did get below 100 degrees. Now, that's what I've been told. Sometimes up to 115 degrees, and I mean people begin to die, cattle begin to die, poultry began to suffocate. That heat wave moved into the mid area of our country, and people, where they didn't have as much air conditioning, began to die in great droves. It just seems like it just kind of just began to pick up there. In the mid-80s, this nation was scorched, and we still haven't, but in the mid-80s, this nation was scorched with forest fires, the worst that we'd ever had in the United States of America. In big areas of three different states in America was burning, forest fires, and we are still seeing them. You say, well, we've always had them. I know, we've always had them, but we've never had them to the intensity that we're having them now. And I think they even called the game off. I remember that day. I'm not sure. Did they, Brother? I think that they did. I was thinking I remember that. I think he called it the game off. It literally shook the stadium because they had to check the stadium, make sure it was safe. But you remember those pictures, if you was around then, you remember those pictures where it showed those freeways out there flattened like pancakes on top of each other. You say, we've always had earthquakes. I know. But you ought to read the statistics. We are having them. The rate of those earthquakes are just absolutely phenomenal what they was. They're just increasing. And that's what God said in His Word would happen. Be many earthquakes. Then come along Hurricane Andrew, the worst destructive storm in the history of the United States of America. What I'm saying to you is this. God is calling this nation to repentance. And He's using these kind of things to try to get our attention. Now here's the thing. Are we going to be like Pharaoh of Egypt and ignore these disasters? Because that's what Pharaoh did. He just ignored them. He said, oh, it'll get better. As soon as one was over, he said, it's all right. I ain't going to let Israel go. And then God sent another. Now, what I'm saying to you, what is it going to take to wake America up? Now, you say, Brother Ross, you say, I know about this, Pastor. I believe that too. Well, what has it done spiritually to you? Because when it comes down to it, that's the whole crust of the matter. How has it changed your life spiritually? Have you returned unto the Lord? Are you a spiritual individual? Is your spiritual life okay? Is the work of God important to you? Because that's what God is saying to us and waking us up to. Now what is it going to take? Is it going to take these kind of disasters, or is it going to take an economical disaster that will just absolutely flatten this country? You know what I think? I think that would get the attention of the American people. The pocketbook. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence this Y2K thing is happening now. No, I think God's allowing it. I think it's part of His program. Put in place a long time ago. And I'm just simply saying to you, don't you understand that God Almighty is speaking to you and I? And He's trying to wake us up to return unto Him, because we're a nation that has walked away from God. You know it and I know it. In your heart you know that's true. And you could say amen to that if you would. You'd say amen to that because America has walked away from God. Now let me show you something over in the book of Mark, the last verse of Scripture we'll look at. Mark, the 13th chapter. In the book of Mark, the 13th chapter, it also says almost exactly the same thing over in the 24th chapter of Matthew, but we're going to read out of Mark, and we're only going to read one verse of Scripture, but I want you to listen to it. Mark, the 13th chapter, verse number 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. Now listen, famines and troubles, and I want you to listen to what He puts on the end of that. These are the beginnings of sorrow. I looked up that word sorrows in my concordance. Here is what, and in fact, I think Schofield has it there, but I looked it up in my concordance. You know what it means? Birth pangs. These are the birth pangs. Just the beginning of them. Now, I hope I can be delicate in this, and I intend to be, but there's not a lady in here that has not had a child, does not have some understanding of what he's talking about when he says birth pangs. When somebody is with child, it is definitely very evident that she is with child. It's evident. And God is saying to us, one of the things he's saying to us is this. It's evident that the time of the end is near. It's evident. You can see it. But when he talks about the birth pangs, a lady would understand that at first, when she gets ready to deliver, close to delivery, those birth pangs are pretty mild. Fairly mild. I'm talking about a good little bit before she gives birth. What happens then, ladies? They begin to intensify, don't they? You know that's why God used the word sorrows here, which means birth pangs? At first they're mild, but they're beginning to intensify. And God is intensifying this in America and across the world. It's just not America, but across the world, he's intensifying this. Why? He wants us to return unto him. Why? Because it's going to get worse and worse, and tribulation period is coming. Wake up, he's saying. It's time. In fact, he tells us, and when you see these things to begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, we can do one of two things. First of all, let me ask you a question. Is God speaking? Oh, I'm convinced he's speaking. In a mighty way, God is speaking. What would we do? Should we do about it? All through the scripture, what God has asked his people to do is return unto him. You say, well, Brother Ross, I'm not such a bad guy. I'm not doing any bad sin. That's not what he said. These people back in the Old Testament were still going to the temple. Oh, they was going to the temple. They was doing their sacrifices. And he was crying out to them, return unto me. In other words, their hearts were not in it. His work was absolutely unimportant. And let me say to you today, I believe that's where we are in America. The work of God is absolutely unimportant to most Christians. And God is saying, you better wake up. Time is at hand. I'm coming again. And he's intensifying these things in America, and he's trying to wake us up. And most of the time, we're just still sleeping. Not winning souls. Not even witnessing. Not doing anything. Just living our life. Just going on. And if you would ask us, are you a good Christian? We'd say, oh, yes. Sure. And God is trying to wake us up. What I'm saying to you is each person has to come to that place where he understands where he's at with God. But I know this. I believe this with all my heart. This thing is not going to stop. It's going to get worse. Oh, there may be lulls where it's all right, but I'm going to tell you, God is going to pour out his judgment. God is going to continue and intensify those birth pangs, and they're going to get worse and worse till Jesus comes. And I don't know how bad they're going to get before he comes. But I think we need to return unto our Lord, don't you? If you're here without Christ, you've never been saved, you say, Brother Ross, I don't know. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I pray that you won't walk out of this place, because you know what the first thing you need to do to get ready for what's coming is to get saved. And that's what God wants you to do. God loved you so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, buried and rose again for your justification. Amen? He did that for you. If you're unsaved, please come. Please come. During this invitation, come down this aisle. Don't let anything stop you. Come down this aisle. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christian, God's calling us too. Amen. And you know whether he's talking to you. If you let him, if you really let him, you know. If you're just not playing the game with God, hiding behind some things, which Christians can do, you know God is speaking to us as a nation and as a church, as a people. Do you need to return unto the Lord? You determine that as we bow our head and pray. Father, in thanking you for your grace and your goodness and kindness, and thank you, Father, for the warnings you give us throughout the Scripture and even now in our time. Father, I pray, God, help us. We need you. We need to understand that you are bringing America to her knees, and we need to look to you and beg of you, come into the house of God and cry unto you for help and return unto you. Now, Lord, if there's any here unsaved, God, help them today to come and be saved. Pray for we as Christians. There's a need here today. God, help us to do what you'd want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.